Future Spank by Millard. Note: Future Spank was a series of short, fictional sci-fi stories published in Alvaro's Archive of Spanking Stories. I have collected part 1 and 2 here. Part 1. In the year 2004, Congress, in frustration with the explosion of violent behavior on the part of children, passed the Disciplinary Entitlement Act. In short, it gave the states the right to allow corporal punishment of any child up to the age of 18 without fear of lawsuits. Most states passed this power down to local governments and school districts. By the year 2010, General Electric had designed and sold 35,000 Discipline 2000 machines. These machines were automated spankers. At first, only city governments had them. Then school districts started ordering them. It was quite a financial boost for GE. The workings of the machine were both ingenious and quite efficient. All children were issued social security cards with a magnetic strip on them. A child who was to be disciplined swiped the card through a slot, similar to an ATM machine. The child then entered a number from 1 to 5, entered the machine, and followed the verbal instructions given by the machine. Once inside, the machine instructed the child to remove all clothing below the waist, except for shoes and socks. The child then was instructed to step onto the yellow footprints in the floor. They were told to put their arms out straight in front of themselves. The machine then weighed and measured them. The child was then instructed to grab a hold of the yellow rings above their head. The rings then gently locked over their wrists, as similar rings in the floor locked over their ankles. They were then stretched and gently bent forward over a padded metal horse, which adjusted them forward until their bottom was at the perfect position for discipline. A child would be awarded a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 by the parent, teacher, court official, or police officer who had determined they needed to be punished. A 1 consisted of a number of swats equal to their age. 2 was twice their age, etc., until 5 times their age was reached at 5. The machine could use any of 3 instruments, either a Lexan Clear paddle, which was 18 inches by 3 inches at its working end and contained 13/4-inch holes, a black heavy rubber tawse which was 24 inches long by 2.5 inches wide, and whose last 10 inches were made up of 2 fingers, or a Lexan cane which was 3/8 inch thick by 32 inches long. The choice of instrument was entirely done at random by the machine. Each instrument had its merits, but generally children preferred them in the order given, i.e., paddle, strap, cane. The child did not know what instrument the machine had chosen until they were positioned for punishment. For the paddle, they were bent over at a 90-degree angle. For the strap, they were laid out flat, and for the cane, they were bent over at a 45-degree angle, and then the machine moved their legs forward into a sort of jackknife position. Just prior to the punishment beginning, a large monitor lit up in front of the child, showing a close-up of their bottom, with the number of strokes highlighted in the upper left-hand corner. As each stroke was given, the number would drop by 1. This tape was available for parents, or anyone who had ordered the punishment. The room was entirely soundproof. Larger cities had set up buildings with up to 10 machines in each one. Other than a maintenance person who was there for an emergency and to clean up any spills, the machines ran themselves and were quite cost-efficient. Stay tuned for more Future Spank articles. Future Spank 2. Brian was normally a happy-go-lucky type of kid. He seemed somewhat older than his 11 years. He was a 5th grader at Fillmore Elementary School and was in Miss Simpson's class. Today, as he walked home from school, he held in his hand a slip from Miss Simpson. It was a discipline slip, with the number 3 circled. Brian was not a troublemaker in the class, and although this was only the first semester, he had not only avoided a punishment slip this year, he had avoided one throughout his school years. Oh, sure. Mom and Dad would occasionally turn him over their knees for a much-deserved bottom warming. And Dad did say that the next time he was going to use a paddle that he had made and hung on a hook in the basement. But Brian knew that he could talk his way out of just about anything at home, just as he had been able to at school up to now. He was a blonde, blue-eyed boy, and he could tell by looking in the mirror that he would someday be quite a looker. At least that is what his mom always said. Brian's downfall today with Miss Simpson was both his failure to do his homework and his setting attack on Mary Jackson's seat. Oh, sure, he said that he was going to pick it up before she sat down, but he was distracted, at least until she screamed. Boy, was Miss Simpson mad. She called him to the front of the room and wrote out his punishment slip right there in front of the other kids. After class, four of the boys who had already been to the punishment machine all told him how terrible it was going to be. He knew a lot of that was just to make him scared, but as he held the slip of paper in his hand, he had to admit that he was scared. He had seen Billy Jacob's butt in the gym shower after he had been sent to the machine. Billy was a sixth grader and got six stripes from the cane on his bottom. It was quite a sight. There were six arrow straight lines from the top of his butt to the bottom creases where his thighs started. The marks were a faded red and blue when Brian saw them. Billy wouldn't talk about it, but you had to believe it really hurt. Brian had to figure out if he was going to tell his folks. He knew if he did, he would probably be hauled over his mom's lap and given a good spanking on his bare butt. He couldn't figure out if he should go home, take his licking, and go to the machine, or go to the machine first and hope his folks did not find out. Of course, if he did hide it from them and they later found out, he was sure he would be paddled. The slip gave him until 6 p.m. to report for discipline. Any later and extra strokes would be awarded. Brian had to walk by the discipline machine building on his way home, so he thought he might just as well get it over with. His hands were shaking as he pulled the door open. He was greeted by a room that was almost antiseptic in its cleanliness. There were plastic chairs along the walls and soft music played. A large sign told him to swipe his card, enter the appropriate number, and then take a seat. He would be called by the last four digits of his social security number. With trembling fingers, he slid the card through, entered his 3, and sat down. For the first time, he noticed that he was not alone. Sitting quietly in the corner of the room was a small boy who was gently sobbing and had streaks of tears and snot running down his face. Brian made eye contact and asked the boy how bad it had been. He was surprised to find that the boy had not even been in yet. Just then, the inner door opened, and a girl of about Brian's age emerged. She was sobbing and wailing and crying into what appeared to be a pair of cotton panties that she was holding in her hand. Brian looked closer and could not be sure. The instructions on the backside of the machine instructed you to retrieve a printed slip showing that your punishment was completed. This was to be returned to the person who ordered your punishment. As the girl reached for the slip, it fell from her shaking hands. She bent over to get it, and Brian caught a glimpse of her butt. It was bright red, from the top to the bottom. Even her little vagina, which peeked through, was red. Brian heard an audible gasp from the little boy in the corner. The girl just picked up the paper and walked out the door, still crying in her panties. Then a metallic voice ordered 6985 to report to the machine. The little boy started crying even louder, but bravely stood up and disappeared into the doorway. Just then, the voice ordered 7171 to report to machine 2. Brian did not even know there were two machines. Trembling, he stood up and walked to the door, which opened with a hiss. He was just in time to see the door on machine 1 closing. Inside, he saw the little boy, now naked from the waist down, slowly turned and walked toward the machine. The door to Machine 2 opened, and Brian entered. He was told by a voice to remove all clothing below his waist, except for his shoes and socks. He was told that he would have a maximum of 3 minutes to do this. Any delay would result in one additional punishment stroke per minute wasted. Brian quickly pulled his shorts down and over his tennis shoes. Then, with an audible sigh, he pulled his jockey shorts down and off. He set them on a small table and turned toward the machine. He was instructed to approach the machine and put his feet on the yellow foot pads. He was then told to stretch his hands out in front of him. He noticed a series of red laser lights run over his body, and his body weight, height, and width flashed across a large monitor in front of him. He was then instructed to reach over his head and grab the wrist straps that were there. Brian was having second thoughts about now and was considering leaving. He stepped off the footprints and ran for the door. It was locked tight. Just then, the voice of the machine told him to immediately return to the machine, step on the footprints, and grab the wrist straps. It said that he would receive an extra punishment stroke for every second he wasted. Shivering, he slowly approached the machine, only to notice a large clock on the monitor which now showed the number 4.
Oh my gosh,
he thought, as he raced for the machine. He stepped on the footpads and quickly grabbed the straps, just as 6 showed on the screen. He felt the machine tightening straps around his wrists and ankles. Then, with a soft hiss, he was stretched tight. The monitor then lit up with a close-up of his butt as the machine lowered his body flat onto a padded metal table. He could still see the monitor and saw the number 33 showing on the screen.
Oh,
he thought.
That's the number of strokes this thing is going to give me.
He also figured out that if he was laying down, he would be strapped. He felt sweat dropping off his forehead and felt a rivulet of sweat as it made its way down the inside of his right butt cheek into his crack. Brian heard a noise and, looking over his shoulder, saw a sort of metal arm rising up, holding the biggest, meanest black rubber strap that he had ever seen. Just as quickly, it reared back and smashed down on his unprepared butt. At first, he felt nothing. Then, the pain of the stroke welled up inside his butt. He choked on some saliva as he snapped his head forward. He saw the monitor number change to 32 and then felt the next stroke. He screamed out and tightened his butt cheeks together as the next stroke fell. He looked at the monitor through tear-streaked eyes and saw his butt. It was red on the top, and suddenly it was covered as yet another stroke hit. As the strap lifted, he could see a white streak where it had just landed. It seemed to be marching down his butt, from top to bottom. Brian had never, ever felt such pain. Even as his body jerked with the next swat, he knew that he would never, never come here again. He also knew that he couldn't tell his parents, as he could not possibly take another beating. The strap worked its way to the bottom of his butt, right where the creases of his butt ended and his thighs began. He saw that the monitor showed 22. Just then, the arm moved up, and he felt the table move. He was going to be released, thank God. But rather than release him, it moved his legs apart. Brian could watch on the monitor as testicles swung down from the tabletop. He could even see the tip of his penis. It sure looked funny from this angle. Then he noticed that the insides of his butt crack were white in contrast to the rest of his butt. As the table slowly spread, he was even able to see his little butthole come into view. Just then, the strap landed again. The repositioning had enabled it to hit right inside his butt crack. He screamed in agony as the strap hit home and began its journey down his left cheek and into his crack. Nothing he could do would ease the pain. He couldn't clench his cheeks. He couldn't buck. He could do nothing but lay there and watch the numbers drop on the monitor. Then it hit him. The thing was going to hit right on his butthole. Sure enough, in anguished fascination, he watched it approach and then go into his hole. Oh, the pain. But it didn't stop there. It proceeded below his hole, right to the edge of his testicles. He was in a total panic about his balls, but the strap stopped just shy of hitting them. He looked at the monitor as the machine seemed to move to his right side. His butt was now entirely red, even inside his crack. The skin on his left cheek was a mottled blue-pink, and he thought he might just have a bruise there as the machine suddenly smacked his right cheek and crack. Another 11 strokes for the right side. By the time he saw the last stroke disappear on the screen, he was in a total state of panic. He knew in his mind that he had survived the machine. Even though his butt hurt like 1,000 bees had stung him, he knew that he had won. It was over. He felt the table move. The padded center section suddenly pushed out just above his penis and shoved his bottom out. His legs were again brought back together, and then he was swung upright. His legs kept on moving, and he was in a 90-degree angle. Then he saw the number 6 on the screen. He had forgotten about the extra strokes. But why was he placed like this? An answer to his question came in a high-pitched noise, as a clear Lexan cane bit into his butt cheeks. His cheeks were relaxed in this position, and the cane really bit in. Brain screamed and begged, but the machine simply marched the strokes down his butt. Finally, it was over. The monitor showed his butt to be bright red, with some discoloration on the left, and 6 dark red railroad tracks from top to bottom. He was released and stiffly walked to his shorts and jockeys. Tears and snot ran freely down his face onto his chest. He slowly put the shorts on, wiped his face with his jockeys, and carried them out, just like the little girl had done with her panties. He was careful to catch his completed punishment slip as he walked outside. He saw the little boy standing by the door, crying his eyes out, with his hands down inside his jeans rubbing his little butt, which showed in the light to be as bright red as Brian's. Slowly, he walked home, hoping he could keep his terrible secret. The end.